Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, April 15th. This is what we grew up calling Holy Saturday, the day before Easter Sunday. So I hope you're getting ready for Easter here in Dallas, Texas. It's a fairly nice day, kind of, you know, what you would expect for the middle of spring. Today we got a couple of topics we want to get into. You know, the Russians have been seen recently in Nicaragua. Let me put it that way. They've shown an interest in that country of Nicaragua, which is, of course, in Central America. And we haven't seen that in a long time. So I've got a few thoughts on that issue. And, of course, the big, big topic, political topic, is that bomb that the U.S. Air Force or the U.S. Army dropped in Afghanistan a couple of days ago. I mean, it's been having tremendous political as well as military ramifications. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as well today. North Korea continues to act tough. I mean, let's just put it that way. They're sort of being a little bit of a punk. And what exactly the United States reaction is going to be, I don't know. But my concern is that North Korea, in a crazy moment, may do something really stupid, such as firing a missile and hitting American troops or something like that. So it's a scary situation. It's a scary situation. I don't know exactly how it's all going to work out. I'm sure that President Trump would rather not get into a war because, well, there's so much, you know, if you get into any kind of a conflict with North Korea, you're probably talking about thousands of civilians being killed right there in South Korea. And I'm not even talking about the American troops, the 30,000 or so American troops in South Korea. So it's a scary situation, very scary situation. And I think President Trump correctly is trying to find a diplomatic solution with China. And we'll just have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see how badly China wants to help the United States with North Korea. We're just going to have to see what kind of a response we will get from China. A couple of things about on this day in history that I wanted to talk to you about. On this day in 1865, this was the morning that President Lincoln passed away. Of course, he had been shot the night before. And I don't know that he ever really regained consciousness. I think he was pretty much unconscious for most of the night. They brought him over to that room across the street. And early in the morning, I think around 7:30, if my reading is correct, he passed away. He was officially pronounced dead. And that's when Secretary Stanton, who was, I believe, at the time Secretary of War, which is what we would call today Secretary of Defense, that's when he uttered those famous words, "Now he belongs to the ages," and does he ever. Abraham Lincoln, one of the great men of American history, without question, probably, I have to say, the greatest president. George Washington also is considered a great president, and he should be. But they were president at different times. George Washington at the beginning of the Republic, and of course, Abraham Lincoln in the middle of the Civil War. So we remember Abraham Lincoln, who passed away on this day in 1865. We also remember today Jackie Robinson. It was on this day in 1947 that Jackie Robinson wore the uniform of the Brooklyn Dodgers and became the first black man to play in the major leagues. Not only was Jackie Robinson a great player, I have a post about this at the American Thinker this morning. Not only was he a great player, he had 311 for his career. He was one of the important parts of the Brooklyn Dodgers, who won 5 National League pennants while he was there, and including the 1955 World Series. I mean, he was there. Jackie Robinson was with the Brooklyn Dodgers in their most successful time period. They were the best team in the National League during that time, and he was a big reason for it, of course. He was such a competitive and such a great player and such a force on the field. But so not only was he a great player, but after he retired, He became a great man. He was a man who was very active in civil rights, a man who really understood, I think more than anybody else, he really understood what he meant to black Americans and how important it was for him to keep fighting for civil rights after he stopped playing. And he did. He continued his advocacy of civil rights. And even though he died very young, he was 52 or 53 when he died. I remember my very last recollection of Jackie Robinson was the World Series, 1972, the World Series between the Reds and the A's in Cincinnati. They brought him out. They honored him. I don't know if they knew he was going to die very soon and just wanted to do one more tribute to Jackie Robinson, but he looked awful. He looked sick. He looked very weak. He could barely speak. But anyway, he came out, and I'll never forget. And I've seen this on Ken Burns' baseball series, so I was able to go back and confirm my memory. But I think what he said that day, if I recall, was that he really appreciated his story, but he was really looking forward to having a manager, a baseball manager, a black baseball manager in the dugout. And I think he pointed to the dugout. Well, he didn't live to see that because he died a couple of weeks after that presentation. But just 2 years later, Frank Robinson, who came up about 10 years after Jackie came up, they're not related, but anyway, Frank Robinson, at the end of the 1974 season, became the first black man when he became the manager of the Cleveland Indians. So we remember Jackie Robinson, one of the truly great figures of the 20th century. He was an athlete that really contributed so much to the country that every single player today in Major League Baseball will wear number 42 in honor of Jackie Robinson, and a well-deserved honor, to say the least. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes, and then we'll be back with a few more thoughts right after this.
This is Carlos Geddes, Harpist, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
My good friend Carlos Geddes, if you're in downtown Dallas on Saturday nights, go by and see him. He's just a fantastic, fantastic artist, great atmosphere there at NOLA. Well, let's talk a little bit about a couple of posts from American Thinker from this last week. A couple of days ago, I was talking about the Russians being in Nicaragua. For those of you who remember the 1980s, the Reagan years, and to some extent the Bush years, Bush's first term, his only term, Nicaragua and Central America were very much in the news. Those were the days of the Contras, if you remember. And there's no question that the communists were sort of creating a few problems in Central America. And they actually took control of Nicaragua, but eventually they were defeated. They were defeated in the polls. But for a while there was a lot of tension between Russia, or the East and West, I should say, at the time, over Nicaragua. It kind of faded away, especially after the collapse of the Soviet Union. But the Russians are back in Nicaragua right now. And they are potentially, we don't know, but people speculate that they're trying to create some kind of a spy station. They want to have a location in Nicaragua so they can, well, listen to the United States. What else could it be? They have a one like this in Cuba, or they used to have a one like this in Cuba, and I think it's still active, but it certainly was very active during the days of the Cold War. And I think we need to send a very serious message to the government of Nicaragua and say, look, folks, we love you, but if the Russians are going to be setting up essentially a satellite operation in Managua or in Nicaragua, I think that we have to be very tough with Nicaraguan government and say, we don't like this, and there's going to be consequences. I think that if we spoke that way to the government of Nicaragua, I have no doubt that they will tell the Russians to go back to Moscow, because Nicaragua does not need a fight with the United States. It depends a great deal economically on the United States with trade and so on. And the Russians don't bring you anything. They don't really bring in any investment. They don't create any jobs. but the United States does. And I think that's why we have to be very clear with the government of Nicaragua that we don't want the Russians creating a satellite station in that particular country. The other story that I hope will be out, the other post that I'm hoping will be out Sunday morning, has to do with this bomb that was dropped in Afghanistan. For those of you, you know, who've heard about it, it was apparently the largest bomb that we have in our inventory of bombs. I'm not a military expert. When we talk to our friend Barry Jacobson next week, I'm going to get into a little bit more about this bomb. But the bottom line, it's a powerful bomb. And if you've seen the video of the damage, I mean, it was damaging. I just heard this morning that they had something like 800 ISIS terrorists, and we killed about 100 of them at one time. I mean, that's huge damage. That's almost 10% of their force in one, you know, with one decision. And I completely, totally support the decision. Look, Afghanistan, over the last few years, ISIS sort of wants to take over Afghanistan again. They've always seen Afghanistan as a country that is very difficult to govern, a country with a lot of open space, with a lot of caves, with a lot of mountains, the type of country where a guerrilla unit could operate very freely. So if you're going to fight ISIS and they go into ISIS, if you're going to fight ISIS and they go into Afghanistan, you've got to be willing to take some pretty drastic measures, such as dropping a bomb like this, such as doing whatever you can do to destroy all of their different caves and distribution systems and so on. Otherwise, you're going to have American troops do it, and you're going to expose American troops to all kinds of bombs, all kinds of traps. And that, that's simply unacceptable when you have the ability to drop a bomb like this and cause as much damage. So I'm hoping that they got the message. They probably didn't, so we'll probably have to drop a few more. But as far as I'm concerned, we should be dropping as many of these bombs as we have in whatever situation we have to drop them in, because at the end of the day, I would rather see these bombs completely destroying these places where ISIS is hiding than having to go cave by cave, literally door by door, and exposing American troops to that kind of fighting. Not when we have a bomb like this that can clear the area as quickly as this one did. So congratulations to President Trump. As I understand, and this is what my article is about on Sunday morning, as I understand, President Trump has basically given the generals a lot more leeway. So he said you can drop this bomb, but he didn't specifically support or agree on this one. In other words, he's given the military the kind of room for them to maneuver and make these decisions. And I think that's extremely important, because not that the military should be running every aspect of the war, but I think during the Obama administration, we had way too much micromanagement of the war from the White House. And you got to let the guys on the ground. You got to say to the guys on the ground, look, go ahead and use whatever tools you want. Go ahead and do whatever you have to do to win. And just let me know what's going on. And that's the way you have to fight these wars. You have to give those commanders a lot of leeway. And apparently they're getting that from President Trump. And the article that I have on Sunday morning links to an article in the Wall Street Journal where generals and commanders are saying, hey, this is great. We can finally make decisions on the ground and make decisions that will save lives and advance our battle against terrorists. So good move by President Trump. Great execution by our wonderful military. This bomb, you know, it could also be a message, I suppose, to North Korea and to Syria and even to Iran. They say this is the best bomb we have or the toughest one we have. I don't know that. That's why I want to do a show with Barry about all these munitions, but it was pretty good, that bomb. It certainly caused a lot of damage, and that is exactly what we're trying to do. Happy Easter, everybody. We'll be in touch with you on our next show when we sit down with our friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. Happy Easter, and enjoy your day, and don't eat too many chocolates and whatever you eat in Easter. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Contreras Dallas.